Our Semitic scripture, Hebrews 12, verses 1 through
3. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 3. These words are recorded. Therefore, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding its shame, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such hostility against himself from sinners, so that you may not grow weary or lose heart. Let us hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. Open our ears, our hearts, our minds.
On this All Saints Day, when all over the world we remember and celebrate the powerful legacy that so many believers and people of faith have left us, I want to try to preach from this thought. You are surrounded. You are surrounded. Years ago, during one of our family vacations, we were standing outside at Disney World waiting for a performance. And as we were watching that performance, I don't remember what the show was about, but what I do remember is that our son Daniel, who was 4 years old at the time, couldn't enjoy the performance because of the size and the height of the crowd. And because he couldn't see what was going on, I did what any good father would do. I picked Daniel up and put him on my shoulders to allow him to be able to see. Daniel was excited now that he was able to see the performance, and after a while, getting a kick out of being able to see over my head, Daniel said, "Guess what, Dad?" I said, "What?" He said, "I'm taller than you." Listen, Daniel was just being a kid, but Daniel's words captures a central truth about All Saints Day. We're often taller because we stand on the shoulders of those who have gone before us. In fact, that's how Sir Isaac Newton understood his considerable successes in science, summed up by his famous quote, "If I have seen further, it is only by standing on the shoulders of giants." Listen, that's what we have in this text, and that's what we have in this word. Hebrews 12 reminds us of the giants who have come before us, on whose shoulders we now stand. But as we celebrate All Saints Day, let us remember that we are not just remembering the decorated saints of history or those giants whose names have been immortalized on the pages of Scripture, but we're also celebrating ordinary folks who got up and went to work every day, shared their lives, paid their bills, fought illnesses, and dealt with disappointments, raised children, and despite the injustice and unfairness in the world all around them, they kept on going and remained true to the faith. So today we also remember everyday people of faith, such as the names of those that were read earlier, on whose shoulders we also stand. Listen, while scholars are not certain who wrote the book of Hebrews, they are clear about the audience. The recipients of the letter of Hebrews were Jewish converts who were facing physical and social persecution, and because of it were growing weary and were in danger of losing heart and walking away from the faith. And so this unknown author is attempting to block the exit as he encourages them to stay true to the faith. And so in just a few words in Hebrews 12 and 13, listen, the writer not only urges this burgeoning community not to give up, but he points them to a source of motivation, a source of inspiration, and a source of accountability. It opens with the words, "therefore." And listen, whenever you see the word "therefore," as Dr. Freddie Haynes reminds us, you need to investigate what it's there for. The word "therefore" is a connected conjunction that connects chapter 12 to the great faith hall of fame that is found in Hebrews 11. And the writer of Hebrews does this to remind the Hebrew audience of the valiant lives of witnesses in the Old Testament who have gone before them and who despite weighty and substantial odds, remain faithful to the call of God in the face of opposition and repeated traumas. But understand something. Despite the fact that their names are included in this great faith hall of fame, they don't represent a perfect gallery of success and accomplishment. Listen, like many of us, many of them fell short. Many of them disappointed God. Many of them got knocked off course and made mistake after mistake. But at the end of the day, they kept the faith, so they are remembered. The writers of Hebrews is reminding them and us that we are surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses as a source of hope, a source of understanding, and a source of vision to encourage them and to encourage us to remain faithful on the journey. Listen, I love the fact that the writer describes them as a great cloud of witnesses. Because, listen, to be a Christian is to walk with Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. It is to share in his hope. It is to share in his love. It is to share in his destination. And it is to share in his vision for justice. Certainly no easy task. But this picture of this great cloud of witnesses reminds us that we are not alone, but that we have company on our journey. Vincent Harding likens these witnesses to a great cheering squad that in the midst of everything that seems so difficult, that seems so discouraging, that seems so overwhelming, that they're saying to us, we are with you, we are by your side, we got your back, so keep on moving. Listen, there's a way through, there's a way to stand, there's a way to move, there's a way to hope, and there's a way to believe, so keep on going and don't give up. Yes, you'll get weary sometimes, and that's okay. Yes, you'll make mistakes sometimes, and that's okay. Yes, there will be some days you don't feel like going on, and that's okay. But just keep on walking. Keep on going. Hang in there, hold fast, and stand firm. Listen, this is not about perfection. This is not about perfectly holding everything together. This is not about never becoming unglued, but it's about remaining true to the faith and the hope that one day change will come, justice will come, peace will come. Listen, like the saints in Hebrews 11 who did not see the ultimate victory, neither will we see the ultimate victory in our lifetime. But I just believe that one day it will come. That's what it means to remain faithful, not to always see the victory in our lifetime, but to believe in the possibility of the victory. Listen, that's our tradition. That's our destiny. That's our hope. So go right on, people of faith. Walk in the light. Run with the cloud. Mount up on wings. Follow Jesus, the pioneer and finisher and author of our faith, because there's always more work to be done. There's always more love to spread. There's always more joy to share. There's always more hope to instill. There's always a city to build. And let me say it again, there's always a city to build. And that's what this faith journey is all about. But it's about building the beloved community of God where all of God's children can thrive. And guess what? We can do it because we are surrounded by love, surrounded by hope, surrounded by this great and awesome cloud of witnesses. Allow me to close with this. Listen, we're not just surrounded by this great cloud of witnesses, but we're also surrounded by God's love, God's mercy, and God's enduring grace. In fact, Psalms 23 and 6 captures an image that I love. It says, goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives. Listen, I love the imagery of that. Somebody said, it's like God has two Doberman pinschers called goodness and mercy that will follow you all the days of your life. Listen, you can't outrun them. You can't outdistance them. You can't lose them because they will eventually track you down and catch up with you. The psalmist is trying to teach us that goodness and mercy are those divine reminders that you are surrounded wonderfully and awesomely by God's love. Come on now, you are surrounded. I'll never forget when I was growing up, I loved watching cowboy movies with my dad. And check it out, as I watched the movies, I noticed that there was a specific formula. There was always the good guys and there were always the bad guys. The bad guys would go after the good guys and then the good guys would go after the bad guys. Eventually, the bad guys would end up in a cave or a hole somewhere and where they had run out of options. And sure enough, they would be trapped by the good guys. And guess what? I always waited to hear them say the same thing. Come out with your hands up. You are surrounded. Come on, I thought about that. And while it's not a perfect illustration, it reminds me that the ways of the world, that greed and racism and sexism and competition and rugged individualism and the logics of empire have left me and so many others trapped without options. Come on now, how long before we realize that the ways and logics of this world is a trap? And listen, unlike the narrative in the cowboy story, goodness and mercy tracks me down and says, come out with your hands up, you are surrounded. Not because I'm a bad guy, but because goodness and mercy are on a rescue mission. And they have come to rescue me and set me free from the broken ways of the world. Come on out, it's a rescue mission. I got a cloud of witnesses above me. I got goodness and mercy behind me. I got Jesus, who is the pioneer and the author and the finisher of my faith, ahead of me. And so I am surrounded. Come out with your hands up. And listen, in my sanctified imagination, that imagery is a picture of surrender. But listen, this surrender is not capitulation. This surrender is not resignation. This surrender is not hopelessness. But this surrender is God. We've tried it the way of the world. And now we surrender to your way. We surrender to your will. We surrender to your peace, your joy, your mercy, and your love. Listen, that means loving, trying to love like we've never tried it before. That means trying peace like we've never tried it before. So come out with your hands up because you are surrounded. But listen, the psalmist also introduces another image in that 23rd Psalm. Not only does goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life, but the psalmist in verse 4 says, God's rod and God's staff, they comfort me. In other words, I'm surrounded. Listen, I got a cloud of witnesses above me. I got goodness and mercy behind me. I got Jesus, the pioneer and author of my faith, ahead of me. And now I got a rod, a staff on both sides of me. Listen, I am surrounded. In other words, that's why we can throw off the weight and the sin that so easily clings to us. And we can surrender to God. We can surrender to Jesus, the pioneer and the author of our faith, because we are surrounded not only by this great cloud of witnesses, but we are surrounded by the love of God. God bless you. Amen.